my opinion, the left has always had a long-term goal to essentially take arms, small arms, away from a population, because a population that's unarmed is easier to control. It's happened around the world historically. That's the first thing a totalitarian government does is gets rid of religion, and it also gets rid of guns in the hands of individuals. The point being is that all of these measures, first of all, the only way that you're going to take guns out of the hands of Americans is by force.
Time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news, providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Colonel Jim Warshuk is here. He's retired from United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence and special missions officer. Served as deputy director for intelligence for U.S. Central Command and worked on the White House National Security Council. And terrific, and we're excited to have on with us Stu Swirk. He's a retired naval officer with operational experience in the Middle East and Western Pacific. Presently a semi-retired defense contractor. And we're happy to have Stu here as well. He's also a new columnist here at America Out Loud, friends. Let's start, guys, with North Korea here. So I guess the art of the deal, Jim, no deal or some deal, or did you see this coming? I think you might say yes, but or did you think they might sign a deal while Trump was out there?
No, I saw this coming, and if you read the back pages and between the lines on a lot of this going into it, China was heavily involved in this, and this whole effort right now that President Trump is going through with North Korea is to decouple China's influence on North Korea. And in the end, you know, the president announced no agreement. One of the key things to watch, and you have to understand this when these kind of things go on, everything is orchestrated. When the president and a foreign leader meet, most of the work has already been done, and it's all formality. Things are prepared, scripts are written, press statements are already put in, and you saw after this, the president made a quick press conference and went off to Hanoi International Airport, and they took off. He was, from the time he ended with Kim till the time it was wheels up on Air Force One was about an hour. That was proof that they knew well in advance that nothing was going to be officially done. A lot of work done in the background, a lot of other small signatures to processes and efforts to go forward. They're going to meet again, and we'll see what happens then.
Well, I don't know. I mean, listen, what I take from what you just say, yeah, it sounded like they knew it was a crapshoot, clearly, but they had to get in front of Kim again to figure that out. Stu, do you think that there's going to be, I'm not so sure there'll be another meeting. I'm not sure I totally agree with that, unless there are some considerations up front, back to what Jim was just saying, unless they completely understand that, like you say, there's some sort of a deal that's already in play, and they know it for sure going into it. I don't think he can do a third summit, can he?
It's possible. The big issue, as Jim pointed out, is China. What a lot of people don't understand or don't know is that the Chinese are basically provide 80% of the foreign exchange and foreign trade with North Korea. North Koreans are completely dependent upon the Chinese for their economy. They have a closed economy. They don't export. They're under UN sanctions. So essentially, Kim is a puppet, and the puppeteer sits in Beijing. That's Xi Jinping, the premier. So what we saw in this summit is nothing other than China trying to test Trump to see whether he would go with relaxing sanctions, which is what Kim wanted, in exchange for almost nothing. They wanted to see whether they could get something out of him this time, and Trump was smart to walk away.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, Stu, because a lot of the political heads were blown up, of course, all over the place. We always expect that very clearly.
Right? The only way there will be a third summit is if there can be some agreement.
Exactly.
All that preamble work between staffs and so forth would have to be done, and the Chinese would have to acquiesce to some type of a reasonable agreement that would support something on the North Korean front that the U.S. could live with.
Yeah. China really is the key to a lot of this. And you're right, Stu, when you say that it's not really upfront in a lot of the conversations we're seeing out here in the media land. People are really understanding. Now, this was a pivotal move. We talk all the time about Art of the Deal and Trump, but this was a pivotal move. Had the president, I mean, I want you to think about this a minute, people out there, because had the president caved, if for any one moment, and I don't think any of us think he would have, but had he done that and signed something, whatever it was, and signed off with Kim, and of course, Kim has a history of not, honoring anything he does. I mean, this is not unusual for this man. But had he done that, China was absolutely watching you, right? And they are seeing, and you know, you got this big trade thing deal going on. Jim, there's talk, in fact, about Xi Jinping coming to, I guess, potentially Mar-a-Lago, that's what they're saying, I don't know, at the end of March or so, if this trade thing works out and happens. I mean, they're working feverishly right now to make a deal. But there's a lot of real high-end negotiations going on behind the scenes, Jim. I mean,
crazy. Absolutely, Malcolm. That's part of what I talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. Once you get to these the big event, so to speak, where we just saw in Hanoi and the deal and the effort in Mar-a-Lago is going to happen at the end of the month. That's already been out this morning. That's pretty much set in stone.
Okay.
Even there's some rumblings now just within the last 10 minutes that Kim is looking forward to another meeting with Trump. So
I'm sure he is.
Kim is in a precarious place because he is seeing, you know, there's a reason why, and the U.S. is really driving where these meetings are in Singapore. We saw in the last one, this one in Hanoi. These are being done by design so that Kim can see, you know, you could be like these countries rather than the place in that you have the hermit kingdom, you know, where people are eating grass, twigs and roof tiles. And it basically is telling Kim, you can go along with China or you can do this all on your own and become a wealthy and recognizable and accepted country. The choice is yours. You can do this.
Jim, that's a big point. That's a big point, man.
Trump is driving him in that direction. He's also driving China in the direction where, you know, we are your largest trading partner in the world. You need us more than we need you. We can make everything in America that is made in China. Mm-hmm. And while it might cost a little bit more to make it in America, we make up the difference in tariffs and all kinds of other import fees and taxes. And so there's really not much difference. And that's the message that China is getting. And China can't afford to lose the U.S. as its number one trading partner in the world. China would collapse without the U.S.
Well, they're already having struggle. China, how concerned are you with China in the big picture of things? I mean, we see what's going on in the South China Seas. We see them flexing their muscles. We see what they're doing. I mean, they're very smart. You know, Stu, the one thing, I just tell people right up front here, the one thing that you've got to give credit to the Chinese, a lot of these dictatorships and evil people in the Middle East and Russia, they play the long game far, far better than our politicians who only play the short game. They play the short game for the next election. And all these other cats are playing more long game. What do you see with China? How concerned are you?
Greatly. They're the number one existential threat to the United States long term at present. You can talk about the Soviet or the Russian rocket force all you want. Certainly they could. They're an existential threat as well. But you got to look at things from an economic point of view. The Chinese have roughly 10 times the GDP of Russia. 10 times. Wow. Russia is also losing population. Their demographics projections are horrible. Long term, the real threat to the United States is, in fact, China. China has had a number of long term initiatives underway, One Belt, One Road, the Maritime Silk Road, and this thing called Made in China 25, which is a Xi Jinping initiative. Their goal is to dominate economically wherever there are natural resources that they can leverage. Their goal is to use what's called debt leveraging as a mechanism for getting control over local economies. They loan large sums of monies to essentially third world countries in Africa and Southwest Asia. And when those countries can't provide the payments on those loans, right, what the Chinese do is they leverage the debt in order to take control of both natural resources that the country has, as well as the transportation industry, which is vitally important to them too.
Yeah,
that's what this thing called the Maritime Silk Road comes in. The Chinese are establishing control of ports in certain strategic locations around the world, and that's the means by which they're going to transport raw materials back to industrial China for manufacturing purposes. So, yes, the long-term threat to the United States is, in fact, China, and they're all over, including in Latin America, in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. I just saw the other day that the Chinese signed an economic agreement with the island of Barbados. Now, who would think the Chinese would be in the Caribbean doing things like that? They are literally all over the world leveraging what they can. It's a long-term threat.
Stu, these Caribbean islands and you said Barbados and the Bahamas and all of these places over there, actually, these are there's some strange things happening. I continue to see a lot of reports. Crime is up so high. There's a lot of state to department warnings about travel into these places, even the Bahamas. My God, I mean, you know, these places are and so, you know, these are fertile ground for a lot of these dictator-type people in these, which is what they are, really, in these countries, as you say. So that doesn't surprise me at all. I'm not exactly going to book my next trip, I guess. I don't know. It's starting to, you know, Jim, I'm thinking it's going from a island paradise, this whole setup out there. I get an uneasy feeling about this part of the world, you know, because these are right here on our doorstep, don't you think? There's a lot more going on than we think, I think, don't you?
Yeah, there is a lot going on, and there is we're aware of that, and the Trump administration is aware of it, and they're, you know, this is one of the reasons. If you listen to Larry Kudlow, Trump's economic council director, was talking about that, saying we are competing with this new phenomena, even though it's not a new phenomena, but this new drive for socialism everywhere. And that is an effort, and it links into what Stu was talking about, of getting control of the hierarchy in places like Barbados and what have you. The Chinese are partly behind it, and certainly there are others who are doing it too. Of course, Trump's whole effort here is to paint the world or paint the picture to the world of, You want to go down this road, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And all that economic effort that you're trying to get, and he's throwing it back in the face of China. In fact, that's going to be a major discussion point during the talks with China and the and the trade deal that's coming up. There's a pretty heavy discussion within those talks about socialism, of course, China being a communist country. Trump is trying to use that against China and say, okay, economically, you're doing things that are basically from the free market model, but you're trying to use socialism and communism as a way to control it and direct it, and that's where your failures are.
I want to switch up here, and I want to talk about the House, democratically held House. I don't even like to say that. You know what I'm talking about? The democratically held House. So they passed a significant gun legislation here. Biggest one in 20 years. The chamber voted to require background checks on all gun purchases and plans to another proposal to extend the review period for background checks as well. Trump says he's threatened to veto both measures. You know, so let me ask you both here. This was a big vote, too, by the way, 240 to 190 here. You know, Stu, nobody trusts anybody in this country anymore. I mean, the left don't trust the right don't trust the left. I mean, there's no trust here. America is fighting internally. We've already started that civil war. In fact, you have a very interesting column on the platform about a civil war too, and we're talking a lot about that. We, you know, whether or not it stays civil is another question. But anyways, back to this here. We don't trust each other clearly. These couple of points that are put forth from the House. How egregious are these to the Second Amendment? Does everybody believe these are just encroaching the Second Amendment in a way, or are these something that we should take a look at and consider? And you tell me.
In my opinion, the left has always had a long-term goal to essentially take arms, small arms, away from a population, because a population that's unarmed is easier to control. It's happened around the world historically. That's the first thing a totalitarian government does is gets rid of religion, and it also gets rid of guns in the hands of individuals. The point being is that all of these measures, first of all, the only way that you're going to take guns out of the hands of Americans is by force. Literally, there is something on the order of 350 million guns in a population that's almost equivalent, 330 million or so. There's no way that people are going to turn in their guns, no matter what is done here, unless it's done by force. So these measures that are passed, these little things that are edging around the Second Amendment to try to do gun checks and all sorts of other things are more political theater than they are reality. It's just not going to happen, in my opinion. People are not going to give up their guns.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think, Jim, let me get you to quickly opine on that, and I want to talk about something else real fast. But, you know, it makes me realize, Jim, how blessed we are as a nation that we had framers. The framers really thought this all through. When you think about the reference to tyranny and the reference to the Second Amendment, I mean, it's brilliant, really. It tells you how brilliant. Really, if that doesn't strike you right now, people, I don't know what does, but the brilliance of our framers.
There's a reason it's number two.
Yeah.
Well, the Nazis and the communists figured out early on that any effort to do an invasion against the United States with an amendment called the Second Amendment, and as you talked about the number of guns in America, that it would be totally impossible to ever try to occupy America. Totally impossible. The real thing here with this that I think is going to be a breakthrough point in this thing the Democrats are trying to do is the revelation that that the Republicans put in there and saying, okay, if you're going to take guns away or if you're going to do extended background checks, you need to be able, the federal government, the FBI, whoever, needs to be able to notify when an illegal alien tries to purchase a gun. And the Democrats flew off the handle on that, and it proved that their whole hypocrisy in this whole thing that, wait a minute, we want to give an exception to illegal aliens. It's okay to let them purchase a gun versus legal Americans who are fully authorized to purchase guns. So that in itself revealed everything about this gun deal, and I guarantee the president will veto it.
Yeah, well, he's already said that very clearly. All right, I want to get your quick opinions, guys, on you know, we have only have a moment here or so, but Michael Cohen, so very smug, Lanny Davis behind him, which really baffles me. I mean, everybody's got to figure that. I mean, you've got Lanny Davis here behind them. I mean, who do you think's pulling the strings here, people? I mean, come on. Stu, that had to be really like a comic relief that day in the hearings, the ones that were public anyways. There were other hearings behind closed doors. Bottom line, Stu, how much do you think Cohen, does he hurt the president at all? A lot of the allegations and things he said and the accusations, does this hurt the president to any degree out there?
I don't believe so. In fact, he's actually exonerated the president on a couple of topics, one of which was Cohen himself had admitted he'd never been in Prague. And how long has the New York Times and the Washington Post been riding that train?
That's right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. As far as what Cohen said, there's no question about it. It was scripted. He met with the Democrats before that hearing, and he had Lanny Davis sitting over his right shoulder the whole time. Lanny Davis is giving pro bono legal support. Now, who is Lanny Davis? He's been a longtime Clintonite since the Clintons were in the White House. He has been an apologist for the Clintons, and you can rest assured that much of what Cohen read was scripted by the Clintons through Lanny Davis.
That's the thing about this Cohen thing. You just said it, Stu. That's the whole thing about this. I mean, Lanny Davis is a Democratic operative. He's always been a Democratic operative. And now you've got Cohen out there who's really been sucked up with the Democratic Party, the operatives, and they're just seeing this as like another attempt potentially to try to take down Trump. I mean, that's got to be clear to everybody who sees this with Cohen. Jim, last final thought on Cohen. What are your thoughts here?
Stu's exactly right, but Trump gets the final say, and he did that yesterday when he went out and presented the fact that Cohen now is pushing a new book that actually was written a couple of years ago. He's pushing the script, looking for a publisher, and the transcripts that are out there reveal that this whole book kisses Trump's ass from Cohen's point and talks about what a great person he is. So if it's not revealed and understood by people that Cohen was totally working with the Clintons and Lanny Davis, the book reveals his own hypocrisy and everything that he said during that testimony.
Very interesting.
I think he's done, and he'll be sitting in jail. And if he gets a book deal, it will only help Trump more.
Well, that all flushed out in the hearing too, the book deal and all. I mean, that was pretty clear what his motives were. But anyways, a lot of good discussion here. A tremendous thank you to Colonel Jim Warshak and Stu Swirk. A great analysis, guys, and thank you very, very much here. Friends, so there's a lot to take from this segment here in regards to China, North Korea, what we've discussed there, and really a lot of this. But I want to continue on here now. We've got an interesting perspective coming up from both Europe and America next year. More Viewpoints in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Welcome on, please, a good friend of the show here, IQ Al Rasuli. IQ is an author of Lifting the Veil. He's an Iraqi-born Arabic speaker and considered one of the foremost authorities in the world on the subjects of Islam. IQ is a weekly columnist here at America Out Loud and he's been with us for a good couple of years now, about 3 years or so. IQ's been, we call that boots on the ground. And also boots on the ground, Ilana Friedman. Ilana also is a weekly columnist here, and she's got a book in the America Out Loud bookstore as well. You got to check. These are great authors, great speakers, great commentators. Now, these are people who understand. She's a veteran intelligence analyst. She covers terrorism and politics as well. She's an advisor to law enforcement, global corporations around the globe here. Okay, so we see, we've been talking about in the earlier segments here about Trump coming back from North Korea. Obviously, we understand what the deal is there and how China plays into that. We've already laid that out, this is a North Korea is a puppet of China. China was pulling the strings of this relationship. We know all of that already. We know some of the things that China is doing. While everybody in America is looking at Russia and the political staff have made a mockery out of it, China is moving quickly at doing a lot of things. They're not dumb. They're watching everything around the globe. And so a lot of these are quiet threats. We'll see how this trade deal happens and if that takes place with Xi Jinping and Trump here. And what that's a big factor in this, too, economically. You got to remember that. All right. And Israel's another part of this thing I want to talk about in the Middle East and Netanyahu being under fire as well. We'll talk about that as well here. So, IQ, let me have you chime in and start here. So, Kim, you're our favorite dictator in charge there, takes the train and symbolic maybe in some ways. Many people thought there would be a deal. Trump wasn't willing to sell off or sign off or anything else. How do you feel about that deal when Trump walked away, and what happens next? Will there be a third summit, do you think, even?
Well, rational and fair-minded Americans must know that it is much, much more difficult to walk away from peace talks than to make a dangerous and useless commitment. They must also realize by now that no matter what Trump would have done, his Trump deranged Democrat and leftist communist opponents would have condemned him anyway. The most perfect example of making a disastrous deal. Just to make a deal was Obama's groveling to the Ayatollahs of Iran, whose demands he literally did approve of in the so-called nuclear deal. I have absolutely no doubt that had Trump's political opponents in Congress and the media not been undermining him so viciously and publicly, contributing to the perception and possibility that Trump may not win a next term or even may get impeached soon, Kim would most assuredly have been more forthcoming and the deal could have been concluded. This is not a failure. In fact, the fact that he walked away mm-hmm. is a triumph, from my point of view anyway.
Yeah, very yes. interesting.
Probably there will be another meeting, yes.
So you think there will be another summit, you say, IQ?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
The minute Kim understands that Trump is not going anywhere,
exactly,
they will have another meeting.
Right, yeah. And there's going to have to be a lot of rules in play before that happens, clearly. You know, Kim is a very interesting fellow, Ilana. I watched him. If you watch his body language when he arrives in Vietnam, it's fascinating when he walks into a hotel. It really is. I study the body language of people all the time. And he looks around and he looks up at the ceiling and he looks up at the walls. And it's like a kid in a candy store. It's like, you know, as I say, and he looks up all over the place. It's like, wow. Like, because they don't have that stuff in North Korea, really. I mean, he's like, wow, big hotel. And, you know, he's fascinated with the West, and he's fascinated with a lot of this pomp and pageantry. He likes the spotlight, Ilana, a lot. What's your assessment? You and I have been talking about North Korea for years now. What happens next?
Well, it's going to be a little difficult to predict, but I think that there are certain things in play now that are going to play out according to a plan that Trump has, and I think it's a good one. His walking away was brilliant. He had to do it. We have to remember what these talks are about. Trump is trying to defuse a nuclear madman. The purpose of these talks is to prevent World War III from being triggered by North Korea. And that makes these talks very, very important. And the outcome is important for the entire world, not just for the United States and North Korea and China. So I think what we are going to see, this is my prediction.
Okay, all right.
My prediction is that Kim will come back to the table. Mm-hmm. He will be pressured by China to do so, because we have to remember these talks are directly connected to the trade talks we're having with China, and we've made a tremendous amount of progress in those talks. So we are coming very close to some sort of resolution with China, but it won't happen if North Korea is standing in the way, and China is going to, I believe, put a lot of pressure on North Korea, on Kim, to come back to the table and make a more positive and more sensible deal with Trump, because Trump is going to expect and accept nothing less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. That is. Go ahead, IQ.
And then then those two things will come together: North mm-hmm. Korea and mm-hmm. China. The deals with North Korea and the deals with China are going to be in parallel somehow. It's not clear which one is going to come first. I rather mm-hmm. suspect China is going to come first.
Okay.
But North Korea is going to be under enormous pressure from China, and China is under enormous economic pressure.
That's right. That's
the whole economy is failing.
That's right.
It needs these trade talks to succeed. And
well, that's a big part of this.
Yeah.
The economic factor in these things is always really key. You know, you both are brilliant analysis from both of you that I see. I mean, so. IQ, you point out something very, very important, and I want to talk about both of you here, but IQ, you point out that the Iran deal, everybody remember, the Iran deal was a sellout, and think about that in the terms that, like you said, it takes a lot of power to be able to walk away from these deals. See, a lot of people are not understanding that very clearly. That's really an important point. We didn't walk away from Iran. We gave them and gave them and gave them in the middle of the night with cash, on planes, and anything else they wanted. I mean, we opened up the piggy bank and poured it out there. So that's an interesting point. I just want you to focus on that a minute, people, and especially you critics out there that are thinking that, you know, Trump blew it because you should have just signed off on any deal, which a lot of you hotheads in the media think that stuff because you're not being honest and truthful. You're just playing partisan politics, people. You know, you're not being truthful for a minute. Now, Alana, you also bring up some very, very fascinating points here in this whole arrangement with the economic factor of China being the big part of this thing and what plays out here. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens with this relationship. And I don't think enough people, IQ, I don't think enough people, you've been very critical of the Western media. You've been very critical of the media, certainly in this country, but across the board here, for good reason, obviously, as many of us are. But listen, I think they've misreported this story. But the problem, IQ, we're having here is trying to set the record straight, which is what we're trying to do on Viewpoint here. I think a lot of people are disillusioned, and they don't really understand what's going on here in the big picture of these foreign relationships and how they impact us here at home, huh?
100% correct. By the way, I was going to say, 7 years ago, I made an outside-the-box type of comment. I said, South Korea and Japan should declare publicly that they are going to go nuclear. China will never allow North Korea to continue nuclear if the South Koreans and Japanese will go nuclear. And somebody was talking to me about constitution. Forget about constitutions. Constitutions are written by men, and they can be overcome and overruled by men.
Right.
The constitution of Japan can be changed because the threat to their survival and the threat to South Korea's survival is real.
Interesting.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, that's interesting.
And China is getting desperate because of its economic situation. We also have to remember something else, and that is that North Korea was not working alone. At least between 2012 and 2017 or 18, it was working hand in hand with Iran on its nuclear program.
That's right. That's right. That's
and
right.
And Iran was very, very active in North Korea. So we've got a very complicated dynamic here.
Wow.
I don't know what the latest is with Iran and North Korea. We know up until the beginning of 2018 was that this relationship was very, very close.
Right.
Then we had the failure of the nuclear test site, and so I'm not sure what happened after that because we lost our contact. But the outside view of what's going on is that this situation is so complex and so critical to the safety of the world that we have to take everything that goes on now
the safety
very
of the world the safety of the world. You were talking about players like Iran, you're talking about North Korea, and you're talking about these kinds of rogue nations, and it's a problem. I mean, you know, you get nuclear weapons in the wrong hands at any particular moment, and you know, not to mention the things that you follow all the time, both of you. If a terrorist, one of these terrorist groups, got a nuclear weapon, what they would do with it? I mean, you know, it's pretty wild.
And that brings in another country, which is Pakistan. You know, their secret service is working with terrorists, and they have a nuclear capability.
Mm-hmm.
Pakistan does. So
right.
The fact
that's right.
That the
that's right.
You know, that their secret service is working with terrorist groups is very scary.
Exactly.
And now they're threatening India. So,
exactly.
You know, this thing just keeps growing.
IQ, let me switch over to you. I want to talk to you about, what's going on in Israel right now with Benjamin Netanyahu. The prime minister has been indicted on corruption charges. They're having some really internal politics there in Israel. What do you make of that from your side of the world there? What do you make of that with Netanyahu, and how much of a threat is this? Is he in trouble?
I have absolutely no doubt that most Americans do not realize that Bibi Netanyahu of Israel suffers exactly the same hatred, disrespect, irrational animosity, and repeated accusations of corruption as Donald Trump by the deranged leftist liberals in both countries. And the reason in both cases is exactly the same. Both leaders believe in and attempt to make their country secure and prosperous against the left's attempt to have no borders and no wealth, the globalist agenda. During 3 terms as prime minister, he turned Israel into a military and scientific giant, second only to the great powers. He opened political relationships with similar Arab and Muslim countries. He secured excellent relationships with India, Japan, China, South Korea, and others in Asia and Africa. As far as I'm concerned, having literally studied the background of most of his opponents. There is not a single political entity in all of Israel that can match his abilities. And I mean this as an outsider looking in. No other leader in the world would have received the numerous standing ovations that Bibi received in his address to Congress. Whether, you know, most Americans do not even know how brave and patriotic this man was. He was a team leader in the Sayeret Matkal Special Forces Unit and engaged in several successful operations against Arab terrorists and got wounded. Whether they succeed in impeaching him, in fact, right, or not, I have no idea. I don't know what they have up their sleeve, but they've been trying to do it for 12 years.
Ilana, first of all, is he guilty of these corruption charges, in your opinion?
I suspect he is. Look, there's a lot of corruption. We used to say when Israel was a new country back in 1948 that we would know that Israel had come into its own when it had its own corruption as well as everything else. it's got it. There was a joke a long time ago when a policeman was running after a guy who had been who was running away from some kind of crime, and the guy raised his hand and said, don't shoot, I'm just a thief. He wasn't a terrorist, in other words. Israel has been fighting terrorism for since it was born. And Netanyahu, I think IQ's explanation of Netanyahu and his position is absolutely on target. This guy is brilliant. He may be corrupt, mm-hmm, but he is also brilliant. And by the way, what politician is not corrupt?
Wow.
But he is brilliant. Wow. His approach to national and international issues is absolutely on target. He has helped to make Israel one. Israel, which is a country the size of the state of Vermont, perhaps, mm-hmm, or New Jersey, he has made this country a leader in technology, mm-hmm, in military things, mm-hmm, in medicine. The amount of medical awareness and mm-hmm, invention from Israel is unbelievable, and it's saving lives all over the world.
Right.
And he has led all this, and he's also helped to cement the political ties between Israel and the United States, mm-hmm, and they are essential to the future of the world.
Yeah, no
so,
doubt.
However, what's going to happen is probably he has been indicted in Israel, rather. When a leader is indicted, he does not have to resign. And it's going to be a long time before he gets to the point where he is in court. It may be years before this case actually gets to court.
Wow.
So he does not have to resign. I don't think he wants to. However, public opinion in Israel is turning against
IQ. Last word on this. Only have a moment left here. So, I mean, is he guilty of corruption charges? Yes or no?
He might be, but his corruption is nothing compared to the Muslim corruption or European corruption or the American corruption.
You know, it's just rattles my mind all the time with the two of you when you say, you know, well, it's just politics, Malcolm. Isn't that, it's such a dirty game, people, you know. It's just politics. I mean, what do you expect? Like you say, I mean, it's the lesser of evils, basically. I don't know. There's something warped about the whole thing, people. But listen, I've always been a fan of Netanyahu. In fact, there were times, quite frankly, back, I'll tell you the truth, people, when Obama was in office and I see Netanyahu speak to the United Nations, and there were times I prayed and I wish Netanyahu was our leader, because he was a man of brass and a man of steel and a man that was could really project. And I like that about a leader. I like leadership, people. And so I always enjoyed listening and watching Netanyahu grow over the years. Sorry to hear this is going on there. And, you know, it never helps when there's a gray cloud like that in a country. It hasn't helped America here with Trump trying to take Trump down. But again, what does it always come back to, people? What do I tell you out there all the time? This is nothing more than a simple fight of good versus evil. Remember, that's the denominator here all the time. Good versus evil. It always comes back to that, people. There's a fight on the planet for the survival, and good must prevail. Big thank you here to IQ, Al Razuli, Ilana Friedman. Our friends, they are both weekly columnists and a brilliant analysis here on America Out Loud. Take just a moment here to tell you the amazing people we have that are our columnists and bloggers around the world, and our speakers, our commentators. America Out Loud does not exist without these voices and without their thoughts and analysis. And we are thankful and prayerful both that we have such tremendous people. It's not by accident all this has happened here at America Out Loud. It's not by accident this has come off the ground and becoming a force out there in the media. None of this is accidental, people. We're part of that fight of good versus evil. Exactly. So we're part of that here. Remember that. Okay, so here's what we'll do next. The path to socialism. It's a wicked, wicked path, people, and it's a weird conversation and one I never thought we'd be having at this juncture of my life, quite frankly. But it's a stupid conversation, and it's a conversation we've got to have. What can I tell you? I don't like it, but it is what it is. You've got these crazy people coming off the woodwork here. And the problem is people are believing them. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. I'm telling you. Anyways, we got to take that on next. Also, this list of 200, you know, the Twitter thing, trying to take down. You've seen the Hillary Clinton email and the Politico article. It's a story we're on, and we're not leaving the story. We're going to stay on this story to expose the corruptness in the media. Friends, more Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, friends, welcome back to Viewpoint. And listen, we're moving pretty quick here today. It's a big agenda here. We want to talk about in this next segment, this move to socialism in the country, this path to socialism. I mean, listen, it sounds like a radical concept and idea. But, you know, as soon as you start talking about it in the public square, as I say to you all the time, it becomes, people start to hear this and they kind of start to accept it. And you got to remember, there's a lot of people, too, just living their lives. They don't breathe and eat this stuff every day, every moment of the day, like some of us do. And so they start hearing a lot of this talk, and then you never know what they're, you know, where this thing goes next. So you can't take anything for granted is the bottom line. And that's what we want to talk about next here. As well as this crazy list of, we've been following this story with all of you on Politico. This 200 list where they've taken some of the Twitter influencers, more or less. There's a lot of great people on Twitter. And they've taken it, and Hillary Clinton had even sent an email out about it. And they're calling them bots and calling them a conspiracy and because they're not being nice to the socialist candidates who are running in 2020. Go figure, people. I can't make this stuff up. Well, let's bring on our discussion here, our panel here. Please welcome on the program here, Karen Schoen is here. You've heard Karen before. She's a weekly columnist here at America Out Loud. She's an educator, teacher, dean, an activist, retired teacher now, and focused on saving America. And she's brilliant, and she's got a lot of good stuff out there on the platform here. So Dennis Santiago is another brilliant mind here. His subject matter expertise is strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, arms control, global stability. Weekly columnist here as well, commentator. And please welcome, and we're excited to have her on for the first time, Catherine Byrd. Catherine Byrd, she's an advocate for women of domestic violence. She's a speaker, and she was on that crazy list, or that 200 list. It's a great list, actually, but the people were crazy for pointing it out, actually, right? And so right. There were some crazy things going on, Catherine. I want to start there, Catherine, and start with you about this list of Twitter influencers. Now, this was a wacky story, and I seen it when it first broke. The article was in Politico. In fact, I got all kinds of emails and messages and from all kinds of people that morning about this list. When you looked at it at first, I really was having a hard time wrapping my mind around it because Hillary Clinton had put out a tweet on it, and it seems like really like very far-fetched. They were calling them bots. And I started clicking on it. And, of course, I seen our friend Arnetta there, and I've seen many others. And I thought, I know these people. They're not bots. This is not a conspiracy. These are real people. Catherine, was you were on that list. What was your first thoughts when you seen your name on there? What did you think?
I was in shock, actually, but not surprised. I know that for the longest time, they have made it where, you know, they can change the narrative. Trump's base is very huge, very big. The movement is still great. And I think that if you attack those who are putting out information, then it discredits us. You know, there's something that is interesting that Russia uses. It is where they talk about dismiss. If you don't like what they say, criticize them, insult them, distort. If you don't like the facts, what do? You twist them. If you to just distract. If you're accused of something, accuse them of the same thing.
Well, that's the Saul Alinsky game plan, Catherine. That's
exactly right. And that's what they're doing to us. Yeah. That's exactly what they're doing to us. We live in a republic. I have a right, and so do 200 others, and so do 365 million people have a right to voice their opinion.
That's right.
If they are a United States citizen on our election.
That's right. That's called free speech.
It is not illegal.
That's called free speech.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this, please. There's talk, we talked last week about a lawsuit that may be put forth. What are your thoughts on, is there going to be a lawsuit, and are you will you be part of that class action?
Yes.
Yes and yes?
Yes and yes.
Okay, okay. And so there looks like they will, because we had Kathy Long on Jellycat, who she was really great, well-spoken about the topic, if you heard her. But she's yes. also been working toward that end, right? So, and what will the grounds of the suit be? Just what is it based on, real quickly, Catherine? Just
well, first of all, you have to understand that we were doxxed. Okay, so,
That's right.
Know, immediately if you pull up that article, mm-hmm. you can go to anybody's profile mm-hmm. and immediately click on our link. Mm-hmm. Okay, that puts a target on your back immediately. So it's not that they just mentioned, you know, 200, whoever the accounts may be. They named them, put our profile up there, click on the picture, takes you straight there.
Right.
This is a way to silence our speech. Many people have already been suspended that are on that list.
That's right. That's
right. They take great pride in Xing us off as we get suspended.
You're right. I've seen that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You think what that does to us.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a voice. Sorry. I got on Twitter for mm-hmm. the sole purpose of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, there was someone speaking my language, that meaning, yeah. you know, for the American people about jobs, the economy, mm-hmm. you know, building
things
about
that
what should be fair. Right. And so I got on there to promote and to, you know, hey, I want to be a part of this movement and to turn this around. Which, again, is part of the Democrat Socialist Party to do, mm-hmm. is to change the narrative.
Right, right.
You know, to change the narrative. And you think, how many times have we been called Nazi? Well, what does the term Nazi mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's the National Socialist German Workers' Party.
Right. What they've done is they've tried to brand that back to the socialist conversation. Let's widen this conversation here a moment here. But you're right. The far left is very good at branding. They're very good at changing the narrative to what they want, as I said. But the secret weapon in all of this, Catherine, I believe, and I want to move over to Karen here, Karen, and bring you in the conversation here. But I think the secret weapon is the Patriots. I call it the Patriots. Again, I think the Democrat and Republican parties, Karen, are probably dead. I think both parties are being totally changed. And I think really the Republican Party, the power in the Republican Party is with the movement of Patriots. It's Make America Great Again. That's the movement that's going on. You agree with that or disagree with that, Karen?
I agree with that 100%. You are absolutely right. Well, I believe that the globalists have infiltrated both parties, and we can see that with the open borders crowd on the Republican side, all of those people who are voting against President Trump and don't believe in that we're having a national security issue and believe in open borders. And they have infiltrated both the Republican and the Democrat Party. On the Democrat side, they are the leftists, and they call them the radical left. But they are the majority of the party today. On the right side, I believe it's the minority of the party. They would be considered the rhinos. and the neocons and the anti-Trump faction. But their goals are exactly the same. It's just a matter of how they get there. On the Republican side, they will get there through business. And on the Democrat side, they will get there through government regulation, but they both come back out at the same place, which is a communist ideology.
Right. And isn't a lot of this that you're talking about, Karen, isn't a lot of this really the peripheral part of the deep state? I mean, when you talk about a lot of the cast of characters you're talking about, these people get up in the morning and they can't get they cannot get enough of big government. I mean, you know what I can't understand, I can't put my arms around, Karen, is that I always think in these terms. These people, they have children, they have sisters and brothers, they have others. What is the attraction to this globalist movement or big government? What is the attraction to these people? What are they taking that we're not taking, please? Help me understand.
They are seriously and only interested in money, power, and control. Mm-hmm. People are irrelevant. Nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. Nothing else makes a difference. The only motivation that they have right now, I believe it's power, since they have captured most of the money. They are now seeking world power. They honestly believe that because they have achieved their goal, whatever it is, mm-hmm. have accumulated the money, that they are richer and smarter than the rest of us morons who cannot make a decision, and therefore decision-making must be put in the hands of the government, period. Mm-hmm. And we are only there as human capital. That's what they call us.
Right.
And if we cannot perform our human capitalistic duties, then we are disposable. Mm-hmm. And that's why when there's a tragedy, they don't go all in for it, unless it's one of their own. They could care less, because life has no meaning to them, only in a matter of how can you work for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that is well said, Karen. I mean, that is well said. It's kind of hard to dispute any of that, quite frankly. Dennis, these people are all over the place. I mean, they're coming out of the woodwork. But, you know, I see the press conference that this lunatic woman, AOC, and she is a lunatic by any stretch of the imagination. And I see her at a press conference with all these guys behind her. I mean, I don't know what role she plays. She might have been the original Wicked Witch of the West in the Wizard of Oz. I'm not sure, but she looks like she could play that part. You put a black cap on her. I know I'm not being nice, but that's kind of, you know, she has all these guys around her, and they all look like her puppets, and they all look at her with big grins as she sits up there, and how she explains in full daylight how she wants to destroy America. And people are applauding her on. What are these people on, Santiago?
It is the exact opposite of what you just described. She is the Wicked Witch of the West, okay? Mm-hmm. But she's the puppet. I've been tracking the office of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from the outset. And there is a guy there by the name of Saikit Chakrabarty, who is the owner of something called the New Congress. And a brand new Congress is the name of the organization. It also does work for Justice Democrats. Chakrabarty is a rich dude from Silicon Valley with an unelectable background who found someone to put in Congress. Brand new Congress's objective is to pack Congress with about 30 to 40 Alexandria clones and create a block. They are essentially the equivalent of the outsider force coming into the Democratic Party to challenge the establishment Democrats, who really are. They just care about themselves. But they're kind of like a weird version of Donald Trump on the right. And so I think it's a very dangerous thing that is coming into Congress, because you've got a new block of people who don't agree with the establishment Democrats, don't agree with the collection of establishment Democrats and rhinos that are part of Beltway DC and are out to challenge it. So I, you know, we're in for an interesting ride here. We got Donald Trump on the right side, and we got this block that is beginning to emerge on the left side. And between you and me, I don't think that the Washington Beltway even understands that they're being under attack from both the left and the right at this point.
That's the key right there. And then you see Schumer and you see Pelosi, who are really deep state establishment players, but that's no different than Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan as well. They're all in bed together. Catherine, what's your opinion on this move to socialism in the nation? And I know you're on this. I know you track it. You understand what's happening here. You see, Dennis has a pretty good explanation there of AOC being a puppet and some information that a lot of people may not know what's behind AOC. Is this a threat to the Republic?
Absolutely it is. One thing you have to remember is her plan is for take the wealth. It really is just only a socialism. It's a hoax. You know, when she talked about her new Green Deal, you have to remember something she never discussed, because Earth has been through a climate change since the beginning of time. There is no power in the world, there's no human power in the world that is going to stop the ice ages, the warm periods, the colder periods, the ice age. Earth does things. We don't have that kind of control. One thing that she does not mention is the natural environment, how she's planning on, you know, saving the earth. What happened if Yellowstone erupted today? We go into a nuclear winter. What happens when we go into a nuclear winter? We are not able to plant crops. Our animals will die. People will starve to death. So when she's talking the human responsibility, nature and Earth has its own way of determining the climate change, not the people. No, it is absolutely a socialist hoax.
Catherine, yeah, you bring up some really good points there, really good points. And I got to tell you what, that was a great way for people to think about and what you just put out there, because that's the component they're using. I think, Dennis, Karen, you would agree with that. But they're using this climate change, global warming thing. Dennis, you agree with that, do you?
The climate change, global warming thing is the biggest story that they can grab a hold of.
So it's a mechanism they're using.
Yeah, because basically they got nothing else. If you look at socialism and, you know, the Soviet Union abandoned communism, okay? Mm-hmm. Venezuela is a basket case with people inside it starving to death.
Yeah.
The case argument for socialism sucks.
So listen, that's what they're using. And I want to point out to folks, if you go to America Out Loud, you'll find we have some scientists on there that talk about what you just were talking about, Catherine. Dr. Jay Lair and Tom Harris are scientists who discuss the global warming. Just go there, go on the front page or look under bloggers for Dr. Jay Lair, L-E-H-R, and Tom Harris. And you'll see some unbelievable, you want to get some truth on what's going on from scientists now. On climate change, these are not pundits, these are not people who don't know what's going on. They are weekly columnists on America Out Loud. Go check and read there. The last column they just had up here, warming, cooling, melting glaciers, tidal waves, sea levels, are we doomed? That should give you something to fill up your morning reading there, people. But they put it right out there, and I appreciate their contribution. Listen, there's a lot going on, as always, back at AmericaOutloud.com. That's where you'll find some of the most brilliant analysis and from folks around the globe. That's what we put out there every day, people. It changes. We are the version of the new 6 o'clock news, except these are patriots and people who are on the front lines, experts around the globe. A big thank you here to Dennis Santiago, Karen Schoen, and Catherine Bird. Friends, stay close. A lot happening here on the platform here. You can contact us always at talk@AmericaOutloud.com. The Out Loud Truth continues back at AmericaOutloud.com.